For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
We're back. Binkley and Chris, they were back last night, but don't forget there will be a Character Concerns draft special show. They had one last night. They'll have everyone every week leading up to the draft and then the week of the draft. So 3 weeks from yesterday and today. 3 weeks from today will be day two of the NFL draft. Believe it or not. 3 weeks. I mean, Easter is Sunday. Today is Good Friday. Do the math. Your April is pretty much already set for. But they will have a show that Wednesday, that Thursday, that Saturday, that Sunday, and then that Monday. We'll be also providing those two guys on our show for all of you as well. The day of the draft, we'll have other people in this room as well. We'll have maybe some Chiefs people on as well. I know Mitch will probably come in. He'll have a book, you know, that's not a book.
Yes, it's like that binder.
It looks like the Dune book.
It's right? Huge. Yeah.
So we'll see. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll be joined by our guy, Ron Slay, to talk all things Final Four, all things Arizona, Michigan, Illinois, and UConn. I'm really interested. I really am. I went to bed.
I'm Sarah Austin Jeunesse, The Moth's executive producer and longtime host of The Moth Podcast. Every week, we share true stories told live and without notes by real people from all walks of life. Stories about disastrous haircuts, May-December romances, photographing Pluto, fighting for justice, and so much more. Some stories make you laugh, some make you think, and many stay with you long after they're told. Discover the power of story. Follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Last night, I said, what am I going to ask Ron Slay first tomorrow? I'm asking what he thought about the Dan Hurley incident, because he does not sugarcoat anything, and Ron Slay will give us his exact response. So I'm interested to see what he has to say about that.
It's still the biggest topic surrounding the Final Four.
For sure, you know? It is.
Hi, Macaroni.
That's right. That's our guy. Draft coverage on 96.5 The Fan is brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. From here, for wherever you are, that's the benefit of Blue. Look, Connor Griffin makes his debut today for Pittsburgh at 4:12, right? That's what you said?
4:12.
4:12. Yep. That's Pittsburgh's area code.
That's a cool way to do opening day. It really is. I love that.
Right. And he's the 19-year-old number one prospect in all of baseball. He now will be playing shortstop behind Paul Skeens. So their shortstop and pitcher combined age will be 30.
Two.
Yeah. Will be what? 41? 19 and 22.
22? Is
22,
he 22?
19, yeah. 23, something like that.
Yeah. Their combined age is younger than me. Yeah. Almost younger than you.
For sure.
You know? That's funny.
Yeah. So we get that. And we've seen these young prospects recently get paid. Luis Robert was kind of like the first one. He got like $50 million,
yeah.
Right? Well, Connor Griffin got a 9-year, $140 million contract yesterday. He's yet to step foot on a major league diamond. He'll do that today, later this afternoon. And
he's the second guy now to get paid, right? This week of guys that have not played yet at the big league level.
Yeah, so the prospects that have gotten paid as well are like J.J. Weatherholtz got paid. Yep. And Connor Griffin is another one of those. Roman Anthony was the one last year.
Got paid, yeah.
And really making Boston look smart because got to invited to the team World Baseball Classic, Team USA. Hit a couple bams in there. He's their head of their lineup, young star.
They are 1-5, so they're,
they are, but he's
not because of him, but
no,
I mean,
but like they paid maybe a lot early.
Yep.
On the unknown. But
he's delivering.
Maybe
now
they're not going to have to pay as much later.
Absolutely, yeah.
So it's interesting to see that. And you're seeing like the way this is going, because everyone is going, how are you paying these people that don't have any proof? And it's like, well, we're banking that it's happening. Now, the right. Royals haven't done that with Cags yet, because luckily they called him up last year, didn't really give anything. But if Cags goes out there and balls this year, there's probably going to be a conversation about, okay, do we want to go ahead and extend him now and hope that, because we saw the Chiefs do this with Carl Loftus, hoping that it would pay off. It did not.
Right.
Now, Carl Loftus was much more into his career than these guys are. But what I'm seeing is that there's a lot of these guys getting paid because baseball is acting as if when they have this work stoppage,
that there could be a salary cap. Now, will these guys' numbers count towards that, or will this be something that they are overthinking, or is this some sort of foreshadowing that baseball is showing us of what is about to come?
I don't know the answer to that question, and I wish I did, but what I think it is first of all, I will say this. I'll give the Pittsburgh Pirates a lot of credit. They've done a 180 as a franchise this offseason, right? I mean, they really have. They've spent money in free agency more than any other team, I believe, other maybe than the Dodgers, obviously, but Pittsburgh was a big spender in free agency, and now they've locked up this kid. If you would have said the Pittsburgh Pirates were doing stuff like that, you laughed out of the room, you know, a year ago. So I love the fact that they're giving this kid an opportunity and paying him. 9 for $140, Dusty, is not a lot in baseball at all. It's not an expensive contract.
But it looks really good if you're 19 years old.
It does. It's about $15 million per year, right? Mm-hmm. That's a great, and it's all guaranteed. So he's guaranteed $140 million for the rest of his career. And then if he plays good, then obviously he can get that higher. And by the time he reaches free agency, he's 28 years old too. If they allow that, but just doing the numbers, sure. He's 28 years old. And then that's the prime of your career. And so he can get paid big time after that. But they're buying time is what they're doing, right? They're spending that money to buy out the arbitration, to lock this guy up. And really as a good faith to show everybody else, hey, Pittsburgh's changed, right? Mm-hmm. Look at what we're doing. We're kind of a trendsetter.
They'll lock up Skeens for 10 years.
And that's the next move that needs to be made, right? And that's probably something that's being discussed right about now. We've locked up this kid. Let's lock up Skeens and let's hit the ground running. Mm-hmm. I don't know what this means going forward. See, you thought cap. I immediately thought all these teams are going to be forced to spend because there's going to be a floor in Major League Baseball. And so a team like the Pirates, who has never spent before, maybe they're trying to get ahead of that and have some money on the books. So when they do go to a floor, they can already say, we got this guy locked up. We got that guy locked up. We got this guy locked up. So maybe it's from that standpoint. Either way you look at it and however you want to dissect it, it's great for the game of baseball that these young players are coming up and that they're playing and that teams like Pittsburgh and Kansas City with Bobby are locking up their young stars that fans want to see. And fans have been pissed for years that teams like Pittsburgh and Kansas City have been a minor league system for the rest of baseball. And now Pittsburgh's saying, we're changing our tune. And that's good for baseball fans.
Not only that, they'll play Baltimore today. Baltimore's got a good offense. Pittsburgh could have a better offense now. They have Josh Bell and this kid in that lineup as well. Mm-hmm. And they've got other, you know, they've got other good stars on their team in that pitching rotation. Again, they got to figure out if Josh Bell can play center field.
O'Neill Cruz, you mean?
Or O'Neill Cruz, yeah. Josh Bell's the guy for the Twins. O'Neill Cruz.
Who will be traded at the deadline.
Oh, 100%. Power hitting switch hitter, can play every day, doesn't have to play in the field, sure. But yeah, O'Neill Cruz, the guy that can't seem to, man, if your name's Cruz in baseball, you're having a tough first week. But the other thing about baseball, when it comes to like maybe some of these rosters looking towards the future while paying these young stars now, is baseball looking to the future and how they have completely done what everyone is afraid to do, including themselves. And that is tinkering with the flow or the way of their game's history or the way that their game is structured. Now, the NFL, I would say, I should apologize. They don't seem to care. They will tinker with that thing every single year.
All the time.
Never going to leave it alone. Baseball has always been, well, we're a traditional sport. We do these things. This is what we do. We take pride in it, whatever it may be.
Yep.
Maybe a little bougie. But what they have done, this comes from Joe Shad. He gives them credit to the MLB. Let's give credit to MLB for all the ways they have made the game better. And you think to yourself, well, how many things have they actually done? Well, we'll tell you.
Listen.
Pitch clock, bigger bases, ABS challenges, shift band, pickoff limits, mound visit limits, 1 foot in the batter's box, 3 batter minimum, pitch calm, extra innings, ghost runner.
That's 10 things.
And that's in the last 3 years.
Yeah. And how much better has the game become?
The home opener was 2 hours and 14 minutes, Bob.
Right.
2 hours and 14 minutes. You were out of there by 5:15.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just, like, to me, baseball, this is why baseball gets so much crap, because they always do this. They figure out their sport, they get the attention, and then they get in their own effing way. And I don't want them to do that again, because people are gravitating towards baseball.
Yes, they are.
With the Cards, with the young stars. Pittsburgh.
I mean, even Pat McAfee said the other day, he goes, God, I can sit down and actually watch a game now and not be bored.
100%.
That's where it really has sped up the product is on TV for a lot of people, you know?
And I know this is maybe minute or maybe it's a bit of an egregious take, but I mean, imagine your friends or if your kids were younger, you don't get a babysitter for 8 hours all the time, if you can even do that. Now, not everybody has the luxury of having grandparents that are always like, bring them over.
Right, exactly.
You know? Yeah. But imagine you want to take your lady out your wife and you've got two kids at home and you want to go to Royals game on a Friday night, you want to go get dinner at like 5 o'clock and then you want to go to the game at 6:40, you're home by nine. That is 4 hours of your night, because mm-hmm. only 2 hours of it were baseball because of pitch clock, no mound visits. Terry Francona used to go out there and take pitchers out after one pitch. It was horrible.
Awful. Yeah.
But baseball is more than in a renaissance now. Baseball has arrived into the new age of baseball. We always talk about live ball era. We talk about the Super Bowl era. This is the new era of baseball, and it is working. Don't F it up. And I'm looking at you, MLB. Keep it. Don't touch it. Now keep going with this, and everything will start to happen because the cards are booming your business. The young stars and prospects are booming your business. You have Ohtani, who is a foreign player, who, whether you like him or not, he is bringing in the Japanese culture into baseball. You look at the White Sox. They have a guy that can do
Mark
that as
Kami
well
can flat
Japan.
Out hit,
And that's going to bring in different countries for it. And then you look at how good the World Baseball Classic was.
Yep.
Keep it.
And you look at the other personalities in the game, too. You got 100%. Vinny Pasquantino, which everybody loves, and the personality that he's created for himself around Major League Baseball. And so people are starting to kind of have an identity and falling in love, if you will, with the players that are in the game right now. And people are falling back in love with the game. I saw another story yesterday, which it was a bad headline and a bad story because it's not the truth. But it said, is baseball passing the NBA as America's second most popular sport? Baseball has been America's most second popular sport. You look at any sort of breakdown of which sports leagues are the most popular, it's the NFL, and then number two is baseball. Now, it's usually like 1 or 2 percentage points ahead of the NBA. Maybe they widen that gap a little bit, and I think they will, because it feels like everybody right now is in love with Major League Baseball. And I do think it's important when I say Pat McAfee likes baseball, because he's not a baseball guy.
No,
and
he's
when
a simpleton, football-minded guy.
And when he sits there and talks about baseball and has these guys on, and he was at the World Baseball Classic, that does as much for baseball as anything. So of those 10 things, which is your favorite?
Pitch clock.
Has to be, right?
Yeah, seconds, ABS.
Yeah, I love the
because
ABS.
I think pitch clock doesn't really involve the fans. ABS does, and the fans love it.
And
I
mean, it involves you on TV, too. You're waiting for that, you know?
And it's
like
done.
That. And it's like that. Yeah, I love the pitch clock as well. Somebody said, what does bigger bases do? It has increased base stealing by tenfold. Everybody's taking extra bases
now. It takes
now
away injury.
Takes away the injury. But they give you a little bit bigger bang, a little bit easier of an opportunity to get there. You're a couple inches closer to the previous base. And so in baseball and in anything, and running, that all matters. If you've got a couple of inches extra because the base is bigger, it has led to increased stolen bases. The mound visit thing is really good, too, because you're right. With Terry Francona, every other pitch, this guy's
it's
out
not
there.
Only that, but it's like the way that you have to face at least a batter,
like,
or a 3-batter minimum, like limit. You have to face 3 batters instead of like Terry Francona, who would do it all the time, would go out there, take a pitcher out, next batter, take a pitcher out,
right?
Next, it's like, dude, stop,
enough's
and
enough.
The whole like Nomar Garcia Parra stuff that was obnoxious.
God,
that's done. Derek Jeter's the same way.
We'll
get in there and do all his stuff. That's done. It's great. It's fun. It's renovated. Keep it that way.
I do like the extra inning ghost runner, because every other sport changes their rules in overtime, right? And baseball now has kind of jumped on that bandwagon.
That's
They've
the
changed
one that
their rules.
Didn't like. That's See, the only
really?
One they didn't like.
Okay, I think it's
some
strategy.
There were some that say, like, move it to the 11th, give the 10th inning, and then they don't do it in the playoffs, so I don't really care if it's like there or not. I used to produce Royals games when I was a part-timer here, and I had to do a West Coast game in Seattle. The game went to 18 innings, dude. I got home at 5 a.m.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
Yeah, and nobody wants to watch that. Nobody's enjoying that. Nobody's up for that.
Not even people in Seattle enjoy that. Hey, coming up next, it is our guy, Ron Slay, who will join us as we will talk all things college basketball in the Final Four next with Ron Slay here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. It's Carter Jensen, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty, weekday morning starting at 6, right here on 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. 96.5 The Fan.
Back at it here on 96.5 The Fan on a Friday, baby. Friday. Last good day until about, I don't know, 6 o'clock tonight. And then it just sucks.
But it's cloudy out there right now.
Yeah, but it's like 65 degrees.
Okay.
It?
I don't know.
I'm okay with that.
I didn't know how to dress this morning. I wore long pants. Wore short pants. And then we looked at each other and said we put the same sweatshirt on almost, too. I mean, the same color.
Yeah, it is.
You know,
Bob Ross.
Happy trees.
That's right. There's a lot to that.
There is. There really is.
We don't call them mistakes. We call them happy accidents.
Yeah. I mean, could you imagine being in that zen 24/7, 365 like that cat was?
Yeah, it'd be awesome.
I mean, it would be. No, I'm being serious about that. Like, to be in that mental zen where that guy's just painting things on a canvas.
Trivia question. I'll give you bonus point if you can tell me what kind of animal and the name was his pet.
I have no idea.
It was a squirrel named Peapod, and he sat right in his pocket.
Okay, speaking of squirrels, this is an unbelievable story. Mac, pay attention to this because it involves you. It really does.
Speaking of squirrels, Mac.
So no, but listen, I want you to be paying attention to this story. We're at soccer yesterday, and we're talking to some of the other parents, and my daughter's friend had her car totaled. And I'm like, well, what happened? You want to know what happened? Squirrels climbed into the engine and ate all the wires. And because it was like over $4,000 worth of debt. Yeah, look at the look that you're giving me, right? I told you, pay attention. And these
squirrels. Francisco Lindor just showed up.
Oh, did he?
He slept through the game.
He did. Yeah, literally. So I guess they're putting like some sort of vegetable oil now on car wiring, or have been putting it on this car wiring, and the squirrels are attracted to it. They've eaten the wiring out of three of their cars. And so I'm like, oh, my God.
That's nuts.
Yeah, it's squirrely, I'll tell you. But now apparently there's like this stuff, like a peppermint spray that you can spray on
Rodent
the wires.
Peppermint, by
yeah,
the way.
That I had never heard of this story. Mm-hmm. And so I guess they're climbing up through the wheel wells and they're eating the wires. And because, it's a kid's car and it's only worth a couple of $1,000, the insurance company's like, yeah, we're not paying to fix that. Now, they only had liability on it, so it was one of those things that if they had full policy, they could have had it covered. Mm. But if you live near trees, which we all do, these vermin, these nasty-ass squirrels, are now destroying cars. I never heard that before in my entire life. So, Mac, I know you got a lot of trees. You got that car that you're trying to hold together. You better go get peppermint spray and spray those wires down, because apparently this vegetable oil has been attractive.
Yeah, somebody in Texas says the wire cover is made with soy.
Soy, yep.
And then somebody else says it's usually mice that do it too, that they have lived in the country most of their life, and that it's happened to several of their vehicles.
That's
like
insane.
Mice get in there. So I had a mouse problem in my house.
Not too long ago, yeah.
And I have like my, like, I don't know, like spices and noodle or pasta and like olive oil sprays all ahead. And I got up one morning, I opened it up and I was like, oh my God, that's mice poop.
Yep.
And I'm of course grossed out, right? OCD's kicking in. I look like Rain Man in the kitchen at this point.
Yeah.
And I'm like, mice. And so I'm like, what do I do? Immediately go to the internet, right? Figure out, I got to buy, dude, went to straight Amazon day of delivery. Didn't care. Got copper like mesh and shoved it up the hole and then took like the foam sealer. Put that up there because they were.
Oh, you saw the hole where they were coming.
There was
in.
Like,
that's
well,
luck.
It's where they had the wire for the overhead light and vent for my stove.
Oh.
And so there was a little hole there, and I saw that that's probably where their access point was. So I took everything out, threw it away. I cleaned it all out with that Myers all purpose spray or whatever, all surface, whatever, and then took peppermint oil because I'll put that in like a diffuser and just like baptized the whole area. And then sealed it. Haven't had a problem.
Haven't had a mouse since. We got those glue traps and put them down because we had a mouse. Girls saw the mouse, closed the door, put a bat in front of it because that was going to keep the mouse from getting out and not doing any damage. But at least they were trying. But no, I'm just using that as a public service announcement. I heard that yesterday. They showed us the picture of the inside of the wiring of this thing. These damn squirrels ate through the whole thing.
Somebody just said my buddy has a brand new Dodge Ram pickup. $6,000 in damage to squirrels eating the wires.
Oh my God! I didn't realize this was something that was this common and this, known that people are doing
the
this.
The entire
of stuff.
Text line is giving us examples.
I'm sure
of
they
it.
Are. I knew they would.
I worked at a motorcycle shop years ago, and every winter, 2 to 3 bikes came in needing thousands of dollars in wire harnesses replacing.
So what is the suggestion then for everybody? What's the solution to this? Should we all be spraying our cars with peppermint?
Yeah, I mean,
I'm being serious about that.
I don't know,
man. What's the...
Sit out there with a 22 BB gun and just wait for those suckers.
If I had a BB gun that worked, I'd be in the backyard. You know that. I'd be out there all day picking off the squirrels.
Now, like Rambo.
Yeah. Now, the dog does a good job of keeping them away.
Sure. That's why I'm surprised you have mice in your house. Because, I mean, I have two dogs in the house.
Yeah.
And you've got a dog that outweighs both of them by 100 pounds. And I'm surprised. But, like, dude, mice suck.
Yeah, they
squirrels
do.
Are just tree rats.
Yeah, the squirrels are the worst. I mean, they are the worst vermin on earth. And so, God, yeah, like I said, I heard that story yesterday. I'm just like, oh my God, I got to tell everybody about this, especially Mac. I immediately thought of you. Like, because you always have, like, I know you're trying to hold your car together, right?
Yeah.
making it last.
And so, you know, if you need a mechanic, I got a guy, Nick, over Pit Stop Mechanics. He's outstanding, does an unbelievable job with the car, and he's very reasonably priced as well. But I'm going to just cautionary tale. Save yourself the time and trouble, man. We got to order peppermint spray, and everybody needs to spray down their wires so these vermin stay away.
I actually have some for when I plant in the backyard with my raised beds. So I'll just use it in my car. Yeah, because they get in the plants too.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah, yes. I mean, that's interesting. I never thought about that. Huh.
So I'll repurpose that. Yeah. There we go.
See, I don't know how often you have to spray your wires.
For sure.
But I mean, once a week, once a day, like, could you imagine having to do that every day though? That would get, and those things don't go away. It's like, oh, winter's here. The squirrels are gone. Exactly. No, they're looking for a warm place. They're going to try to get in your engine block.
Ugh.
And then you turn it on and then they're in there. I mean, it was like when the cat went in the engine block, when Hacksaw came over to get the wild cat out of our yard and it escaped and it climbed up the dash and was in the car.
Somebody says, my friend's dad lives off Indian Hills Country Club. He slaughtered 400 squirrels one year. They run now when they hear his back door open.
Good. That guy's my hero, man. That guy's my hero.
That's awesome.
That guy reminds me of Gary Busey's character in Black Sheep. My mom died 4 years ago. Why is she still voting? Big weekend this weekend for college football or college basketball fans. We'll have Ron Slay on in a few. Busy man doing his thing with Final Four coverage for him. But we got Arizona versus Michigan, which is the blockbuster.
Yeah, it is, right? Yeah.
The matinee would be your first game, which is Illinois-UConn. That's the one that's got
probably the Hollywood video, right?
Yeah, I think that's like the indie film. I mean, even though UConn's a blue blood, and you've got the story of Dan Hurley, and we know the headbutt with the ref and all that stuff, and I'm excited to ask Ron about that. But UConn-Illinois sets it up. And if you had to put your money on what game will be more interesting, do you think it's that one, or do you think it is the power of the number one versus the number one?
I think it has to be that one, right?
I mean, that's what made money in the tournament this. We saw all the games that played out, and obviously Duke was on there a lot, but Arizona was on there a lot. Michigan flooded it. The big one seeds are what draw. But, man, can Dan Hurley and UConn outdraw that with the kid from, you know, Kansas and Wagler?
Yeah, no, I still think it's the Arizona game because those are your two best teams, most likely. You know, I mean, Duke is not in the mix anymore. But every week I kept asking you guys, Arizona or the field, and everybody kept taking the field. And I feel like, look, I think this is Arizona's to lose. I think this is Arizona's tournament to go out there and lose. And if they don't win this weekend and they don't win the national championship, we will have that take that they lost the national championship. They didn't go out there and take advantage of their opportunity. They seem like they're the best team out there. But, you know, this UConn thing is interesting because I don't want to bet on a team that is coming off that emotional win. I think it's so very difficult to get back up and have that emotion that you had after a win like they had over Duke the other day. But you said to me, and I think you're right about this, that Hurley's a wild card in all of this. But I think I got to take Illinois. I think we're going to look at Arizona-Illinois potentially for that national championship game. So, like I said, it'll be Michigan and UConn.
And Vegas is telling us that both these games are going to be good. Mm-hmm. Now, one they think is going to be significantly more scoring than the other. They have Illinois-UConn at 139.5 over-under, and they've got this game at +1.5 on UConn's side, Illinois the favorite at -1.5. So that's interesting. UConn tends to cover the spread.
Mm-hmm.
Hurley, I think at one point was like 22-0 against the spread in the tournament or something crazy like that. The other game is Michigan, Arizona, the battle of the one seeds, Michigan, the favorite by 1.5, Arizona, the dog. So if you like Arizona and you continue around with Arizona, you would take the money line at +105. You think the 1.5 is a pick'em game for both.
Yeah.
So if you parlayed UConn and Arizona thinking those are the two teams that win, you get it at +330.
What about UConn? What about you parlay Arizona and Illinois? What do you get that at?
If you go Illinois money line and Arizona money line, you get +262.
Yeah.
So you get plus money odds if you take obviously both teams. You get a significant better stretch of money if you hit with you taking UConn.
Who do you like?
I like Arizona and I like Illinois because I go with you. I go with UConn in that big win. They're not supposed to be here. And I could listen to the other side and say if they're not supposed to be here, they're playing with house money.
Yeah.
They've had their scare. And you can say that. But, I mean, it's a 2-3 matchup and a 1-1 matchup. I think this is when you think of a Final Four, this is what you want.
What you want.
I know a lot of people would say, well, what about if you got all one seeds? I'm not mad about that.
08, we had that. It was great.
And we had that last year.
Yeah.
And so with this year, we got 1-1, 2-3. And now Illinois, in this new era of Cinderellas, is your Cinderella story.
Yeah.
Brad Underwood and Wagler. And you're also showing that, you know, maybe the Big Ten is the conference in basketball.
Illinois, they fancy themselves the conference of champions?
They think they are.
Yeah.
In football, they think they've now carried that torch. Yeah, and basketball, they have the number one overall seed in the tournament right now. I think people would say Michigan. They are the favorite to win. And you have Illinois. You have two of the Final Fours representing the Big Ten.
How many SEC teams are in the Final Four?
Well, I think it was three of the four last year, and they won the whole championship last year. But you didn't mention anything. Yeah, yeah, you didn't mention that.
Doesn't count.
Well, how'd Vandy do this season?
I don't know.
There we go.
Well, they made the tournament.
Get bent.
Yeah, not the Elite Eight.
No, they didn't. And Tennessee did.
Damn right.
Has Rick Barnes, he made the Final Four at Texas, right?
One time at Texas over 20 years ago, I believe.
That's crazy. It was that 03 Final Four that Kansas was in. Yeah.
Yep, that one time. Tennessee's
Kansas
never made a
Marquette
Final Four.
And was it Texas and Syracuse? Was Texas in that 03 or was Texas 02?
I know it was early 2000s. Yeah. I know it was right then. But
I'm trying to think if Kansas was part of that or not. I can't remember. It all blends together after, you know.
Yeah, he is not. He needs to do that.
Yeah, he could use one.
He could use one. We never talk about him needing one.
No, he needs one.
Is he in the Hall of Fame yet?
No, he's Hall of Very Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a very good
coach.
You get
to a Final Four, though, then we're having a different conversation.
Who needs it more, Barnes or Sampson?
Sampson needs a championship more than Barnes does, but Barnes needs a Final Four.
Yeah, but Sampson is in a different tier. He's in a different echelon, in my opinion.
He has, like,
Rick Barnes has been on a downward trend.
Because what, Callen?
He went to the Elite Eight!
I know, but like it's cool. It's Elite Eight. Like you've done that. Like that's great.
But that's not a downward trend.
No,
like,
it's not
if he
a downward
wasn't
trend.
Tournament.
Right.
That's
fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. It's just like Kelvin Sampson makes Final Fours. He made a national championship.
Yep.
Like he's rebuilt Houston. It's like Tennessee. Like yeah, he brought Tennessee a little bit back on the map. It's not like Tennessee hasn't been a good basketball school before. I mean, we're talking to Ron Slay.
Let me ask you this real fast. Soon. Both of you guys. What if the rules were in place 15 years ago that we have now? How different would college basketball look? Indiana would have Kelvin Sampson. They'd be a power.
Oh, yeah.
What would Bruce Pearl be doing? He'd probably still be at Tennessee coaching them up, right?
Yes.
You know, you think at least those two coaches that got that show cause and got bounced for nonsense that were, even Kansas a couple of years ago was in trouble for whatever that was, and we're all doing this today. Those guys were just ahead of their time. They were trendsetters. And then we banned them from college basketball for like a year because, you know, Bruce Pearl cooked hot dogs with no shirt on in his backyard, and you got, you know, Kelvin Sampson making some phone calls to people, and we ostracized them like they were the devils of college sports.
Mm.
So Indiana would probably be a huge power right now.
Text line says Oklahoma 02, Final Four, yep. Texas 03.
03, okay. Yeah, Oklahoma I remember being 02 down in Atlanta.
Because what, 03 was the Aldridge team with TJ Ford?
Was TJ Ford on that team? Probably. 03, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Point guard?
Because obviously Texas, Syracuse, Kansas, Marquette. The year before was Kansas played Maryland and Oklahoma played. I don't even remember.
Was it LaMarcus Aldridge? Was that his name?
Yeah, there was a LaMarcus Aldridge at Texas.
Ended up playing for the Trailblazers?
Yep.
Is he still in the league?
No. He retired a few years ago. He played for the Spurs for a while, and then I think there was...
Maybe in the league 23 years then.
That's what I'm saying, dude.
Long
time.
Yeah, that's what they said. Somebody just said on the text line, teams in the early 2000s had to have been with LaMarcus Aldridge and TJ Ford. Yeah, so it was, yeah.
Those were fun teams. They really were.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, but they bounced him out of Texas. You know, it was time for him to go. They thought they were going to do better. They moved on from Rick Barnes. He went to Tennessee. But no, I think of all active coaches, nobody needs a Final Four more than Rick Barnes does.
100%, especially with the talent he has. I mean, the Tennessee's going to have another top 10 pick this year. Jacoby Gillespie may not go out to the draft this year, but next year he'll be a first-round pick. So you have potential two first-round picks on this team. Like, the talent's there. The money's there. You've got to do it.
And how many basketball coaches has Texas been through since they sent Rick Barnes packing? At least
so
four.
Many.
At least four coaches. And how many has Tennessee had since they got Rick Barnes? That's it. Like, these teams give up on these coaches because, like, oh, he can't get us across the finish line. Texas is the most overrated and overfunded athletic program on the face of the earth. They have zero results to show for any money investment that they put into that program, and they run coaches off all the time.
Honestly, it's a good way to think about it because I'm too in the – I've had Rick Barnes now for a decade, and it's just like kind of old, and I want something new.
Tomlin.
Yes, I'm just like, all right, we've reached the ceiling. Like, I get it. Elite Eight, we've done that twice. It's cool, and then you get blown out twice. Like, I'm just like, but
the flip
right.
side is always worse.
Way worse.
And the flip side is probably easier to attain than what you have right now, right?
For sure.
It's very easy to slip back in. Who was the head coach there before Rick Barnes?
It went from Bruce Pearl. It wasn't straight. I don't know who it was.
Well, they had the guy that went to Mizzou. what was his name? They had the guy before they got Dennis Gates. He was at Missouri State. Then he was at Tennessee. And
oh, that guy. That's right.
What was his name?
He was a Cal for a hot minute.
Yeah, he
right?
looked like Stringer Bell from The Wire.
That's exactly right. Yeah, I can't remember that guy, but that was a hot name about 10 years ago.
Yeah, he was at now I think he's back at Missouri State.
Martin?
Yeah, Konzo Martin.
Konzo Martin.
Yeah, he was at Tennessee for a little bit.
Yeah, he was. That's
took
right,
him that, to the Sweet 16, I believe.
Konzo Martin. That's a name.
I loved Konzo Martin.
He was right after Bruce Pearl.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And he was for a few years. And then the name, I guess he was only there 1 year. And I honestly don't remember.
Because he left and went to Cal. He was there for, I remember the controversy. Like, you're leaving already?
And then Donnie Tindall?
Never heard of him.
1 year. I don't remember that.
Saw a hilarious tweet from, it says Jarrett Bailey. He's an NFL writer, SB Nation, Steelers site producer. He says ESPN in a month, and it's a picture of Jason Kelsey next to Jason Kelsey on the set of PTI, and the rundown topics are all just Jason Kelsey.
That's
great. That is great. Because we just found out yesterday that they're going to take Fowler and Orlovsky and Riddick out of their number two team and put Jason Kelsey, Kurt Warner in the booth together.
That's good. I don't know why that got me good.
It's so good.
That is good.
Yeah, I retweeted it. It's just Jason Kelsey next to Jason Kelsey with a rundown of all Jason Kelsey. And then the picture on top of the rundown is Jason Kelsey.
So good. I'm looking at it right now. That is outstanding.
Well done. Take the month.
I'd actually rather hear Jason Kelsey argue with AI Jason Kelsey than Stephen A. Smith screaming at me.
That's pretty much what ESPN does, though. It's like Kelsey, Stephen A. Smith. I mean, who's the other guy they've got? Pat McAfee? Yeah. It's like those three guys. We're going to put them everywhere. That's what we have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
we fired everyone else.
Who does
good.
More for their network? Jason Kelsey, Guy Fieri for Food Network.
Oh,
is Jason Kelsey the Guy Fieri of ESPN?
That is
a great question. Great comp.
Because every time you turn on Food Network, like they're not paying anybody anymore.
It's Guy's Grocery Games, Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, Guy's Championship Cook-Off, something else with Guy Fieri, and I'm there for it.
Have you seen the one where he has the people over to his house and it's like an hour and they all cook in the outdoor kitchen and make stuff? That's a good one as well. So, I mean, like this guy's got more shows than Binkley does when it's draft season.
Yeah. Oh, man. Hi, I'm Jason Kelsey, and we're rolling out. We're going to football, golf, and baseball.
Jason Kelsey's Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, the sports angle.
He should just use Guy Fieri knowledge or like terminology for football games.
Yeah.
That guy's out of bounds. That guy's the mayor of deep routes. Oh,
he's gargling the sweet nectar of Flavortown.
That's so good.
Jason Kelsey, ESPN in a month. It's great. It's funny.
Oh, man. That's fantastic. What was that?
What was that, Mac?
Oh, that's is that Mitch doing that? Yeah.
Yes, it's Mitch.
Okay. Dan Kilgore's expected to be ramping up for practice. We're still was that Monday?
I think we did it.
Things are ramping up. We don't have a decision yet, but things are ramping up.
Yeah, that was Monday. No, that was Tuesday.
Yes, because the news came out Monday morning.
Yeah, we don't know what we're gonna do. And I saw one yesterday. Well, we have a site and funding in place. We'll announce it. Good. I hope that's the case.
So he says sweet nectar of Flavortown is awesome.
It is. Oh my goodness, the sweet nectar of Flavortown.
Garbage can, trash can nachos.
Yeah.
That's the offensive line for the Cleveland Browns. Bunch of trash can nachos. Because you know, Guy will use the Chris Collinsworth line every once in a while. Stop it. It's like
Stop it.
All right, let's break early, give our guy Ron Slay a little bit of time as he's doing some stuff for the tournament. He'll join us when he can here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Vinny Pasquantino, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. 96.5 The Fan.
Carter, wake up! Carter!
That's how the show started, boss.
Stop, Ma! You're late for your game, Carter. Get up!
It's 22. You ever slept in? Missed your alarm?
For this show back in the day, once or twice, yeah.
Did you really?
It's like a producer
late.
Yeah.
I don't recall that.
I mean, it happened.
Yeah.
Six years, once or twice.
How do you, of course, Speck remembers because you definitely were probably hard on him for being
It happened.
Kling used to be able to know how to run the board, so it was safe for a little bit of time.
He knew like one button to push up.
And then the Cool Whip guy out in the newsroom used to help me out every once in a while.
That guy would eat Cool Whip out of the tub with a spoon.
With cottage cheese.
I respect that.
We did not.
No, it was disgusting. Not at 5 a.m. Not at 5 a.m.
No. What do you eat? No, Cool Whip. Cool Whip.
Cool Whip.
In a tub with a spoon?
At 5 a.m.
So I got back from the bathroom, opened the door. I saw you, Mac, and the boss in here. I thought, this is it.
Well, we got a great new idea. We're going to give out Binkley's phone number, and you're going to be able to call him for draft advice.
Okay. Yeah, that guy's an idiot, man.
Yeah, he doesn't know that, but yes, we're giving out.
He's definitely listening.
Yeah, I know he is, but we've got this great thing that we're going to do.
And Bink, so Steven, call me at 10:07 a.m., please.
Yes. Yeah.
If you are listening, call my cell. At 10:07 a.m. this morning.
Now, he just set an alarm. He's not Carter Jensen.
Oh, okay.
He set the alarm. It will go off. You will get a phone call from Binkley because this is going to be a fun idea that we just cooked up.
10:07.
But you're in here because you hated our mock draft.
I did, of
mascots of fast food restaurants.
This is right up my alley.
I know. I figured you would like this topic.
Yeah, and I was in it a little bit early. I was in the car. Kids didn't have to go to school today, so I could get out of the house early.
Do they have the Friday off too, like all the time?
Yeah, this is like daycare spring break.
Oh,
so
yes.
Friday of they Easter, it. They get a
that's right,
three day
Friday.
Weekend.
Oh,
yeah.
You only get the weekend. You don't carry in the next week.
Yeah, just Friday. So, Dusty. Drafting the two oldest guys in round one and two doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, I don't make sense. I make dollars.
Okay. Grimace has no reach and it has a soft midsection, right?
Well, I don't think that.
The Jack in the Box guy.
Mac, take the
done. Yeah, you're
timing
done.
Is everything.
Mac, you can leave. Mac, you've been excused. The Jack in the Box guy can't see. There's no holes for the guy to see. Look at the picture.
Okay.
So how's he going to fight? Now, I think
he's got a human body. He's like the K-State mascot.
Yeah, but if you can't see, it's like Jean-Claude Van Damme in Bloodsport when he goes blind and Chun-Li is beating the crap out of him.
Why do you think John Cena's so good? Can't see him.
I think the Burger King guy's got a good argument. I don't know who the guy who's got like the cross eyes, who's pulling his ears
that's
on each side.
That's the Noid from Domino's.
I don't remember the Noid either.
I had no idea who he was. Yeah,
they just
middle of the 80s.
They needed to make the block nine in a row, you know, three rows of three. So that's why they probably included that guy.
Well, who would you have included? Who did we leave out from like fast food mascots?
I thought the Texter's idea of the Chihuahua from Taco Bell was a good idea.
That was a good one. Yeah.
Very good mascot.
Yokiero Taco Bell.
I wouldn't have voted for him, but at least he can bite.
Yeah.
The number one overall pick has to be Ronald McDonald. And you got him a steal in the third round.
Yeah, dude.
Fantastic pick to start the third round. I'm going to tell you why.
All right.
To be a fighter, you need two important things. You need the physical attributes.
Mm-hmm. And apparently eyesight.
Well, eyesight's part of physical attributes, right?
Fair.
And you need to be a little bit nuts. Okay. So in comparison, Ronald McDonald's got, good build. He's got good reach, right? Mm-hmm. He's also been smiling for about 70 years, which means he's about to break mentally.
Okay.
So if you were like, I want you to picture where Bruce Wayne's parents were killed, right? In a dark alley. Of all the people that you would least want to fight in that alley or wake up to, it's Ronald McDonald.
Dave Thomas. People don't like clowns.
Dave Thomas?
If I saw that old man in the alley, I mean, think about what somebody
just with
thought.
The hamburger, I'd go get the hamburger.
Look what Mark Sanchez did in an alley.
Yeah, but Mark Sanchez Mark Sanchez isn't 80 years old.
But he got beat up by like an old 60-year-old tow truck driver.
Yeah, but he was a tow truck driver, not a fast food delivery guy.
That tow truck driver was putting up in Mark Sanchez's crap.
Here's the wild card with Ronald McDonald, too. He's got two billy clubs for shoes.
Yeah, that's what
I said. Starts losing. Take those shoes off. You got a billy club. Ronald McDonald's the easy number one overall pick.
My guy's got a spear.
Yeah, and I got the hamburger.
He's
been in jail, so he knows how to fight.
Little Caesar is not his reach is to your shins.
But he can throw that spear to neither reach.
What if he gets right in the temple with that spear?
Have you not seen Troy the opening 10 minutes?
Yeah, but you're comparing to Little Caesar's guy to Brad Pitt?
He knows how to use a spear.
Okay.
Pizza.
Well, then he's the third overall pick.
He's hot and he's ready.
I mean,
that is true.
I think it's Ronald McDonald 1, Burger King 2, because he's got the shields and the armor, and then it's Little Caesars 3.
Okay.
Wow. Not the Hamburglar.
What does the Hamburglar do?
Well, he's been in jail.
He's a crook.
and people who have been in jail know how to fight.
True.
That's
not
fair.
Tiger Woods.
Hamburglar could be the fourth pick.
Okay.
You don't like the...
I don't know. I still don't know what the Hamburglar does. He just steals hamburgers?
Steals people's hamburgers, mm-hmm. Yeah. He's probably been canceled.
And he's never really done hard time.
Yeah, but he's still a thief.
He's not in Gen Pop.
Thieves know what they're doing, though. They know how to fight. They know how to scrap. They know how to cheat. They know how to get an edge.
Fair.
You know, and that's kind of
right,
where
so maybe
I'm going.
Maybe Hamburglar goes 3 and Little Caesars guy goes 4.
If you have Popeyes, do you get Popeye? Like, you get coked out Robin Williams?
It's not a bad one.
Okay. Because my buddy Donnie sent me, you forgot about Popeye. He can just eat spinach and beat people's ass.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Popeye isn't the mascot for Popeyes.
What is Popeye's mascot?
Chicken. I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they have a mascot.
Is it that woman who's like bent over after her long shift? You know that meme? Smoking a cigarette on the bench. She's just completely exhausted.
Yeah.
Is that the Popeye's mascot in 2026?
I just figured it'd be Popeye's, the Popeye.
Yeah,
I don't think Popeye has anything to do with Popeye's chicken.
Either. I don't think it has anything.
Wrong.
I don't think it does. I've never seen Popeye at Popeye's. Have you?
No.
Have you ever seen a commercial with Popeye?
They also don't have spinach at Popeye's, do they?
No.
As a side?
Uh-uh. Nope. Red beans and rice is the game at Popeye's, though.
I found a picture of a Popeye's on Reddit with Popeye on it.
Oh.
Reddit says in the 80s until about 2006.
Okay.
So and then Popeye the Sailor Man sailed away.
Well, then there's your number one overall pick.
If that's the case.
Yeah, Popeye.
We're getting another number one pick possibility spec. I'll run it by you. 913 says Papa John's has Shaq.
They also have Peyton Manning. No, they don't anymore. He got out.
Yeah, he got out. It's Shaq now.
I mean, he does have a Shaq-a-roni pizza.
He does.
I like that Ronald McDonald's the best pick in the draft, and he went in the third round.
Here's what Gemini says. It's common misconception, but Popeyes is actually named after the character detective Jimmy Popeye Doyle from the 1971 film The French Connection.
Mm-hmm.
The chain's founder, Al Copeland, reportedly loved the tough guy persona of the character played by Gene Hackman. While the restaurant eventually licensed the rights to use Popeye the Sailor Man in its marketing, the sailor wasn't the original inspiration from the name.
Somebody asked, where's the Chick-fil-A cow? He can write with hooves.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to get trampled by a cow.
No.
He's up there.
Yeah.
I mean, once that fight starts,
but all
he's
you have to do
moving.
Is tip him.
Yeah.
What about NFL
It's utterly
mascots.
Ridiculous to go against the cow.
The hardest mascot to beat in the NFL would be the Skull Vike.
The okay. Ram.
Just a Viking.
The Viking guy would
never
tough.
Want to fight a Viking.
That's true.
Those guys are built.
Yeah. Have you seen that show Vikings on like A&E or whatever
it is? Is it about Vikings?
No. No, it's about Norsemen. Yeah. Who would Binkley take with the number one pick?
Dave.
It's the wrong pick.
I'm just telling you, Dave's a badass and you don't know it.
And Binkley would have a conversation about the square versus
just
the round.
Just drafted
burger.
The AARP with the first overall pick. It's like Pacquiao versus Mayweather.
But that's where
coming
we are
back
now.
Around in 2026. I
mean, what else is selling boxing right now?
They're out of ideas,
right.
Just like television.
Yeah. Random sports question. Who are you taking the Final Four?
Who do I want or who am I taking?
Because
I have some financial gains
that's
to be made in
the
next
the
24 hours.
Go?
Well, I have a Illinois future and I have a Michigan future. So preferably those two teams meet in the finals and Michigan wins.
When did you place those bets?
Michigan before the tournament and Illinois after the round of 32.
Okay. I was going to say, if you did that like in November or something.
No, I'd never seen Illinois play basketball. I had no idea who was on their team. But then I was watching them. I was like, they're really good.
They're a good team.
Yeah, they're very good.
Yeah. I was talking to one of the dads at soccer last night. He's like, man, everybody missed on Wagler. I go, yeah, they all missed on Alec Burks. And I remember asking Bill one time, I said, how'd you miss on Alec Burks? He goes, we all effed up. You know, just that's what happens sometimes is that you miss on these guys. And I guess Brad Underwood, from what he was telling me, never saw Wagler play a game and recruited the hell out of him because he had heard how good he was or something like that. Never saw him play the first game he played he scored only like 2 points. He goes, I love that guy. So
top
10
pick.
Yeah, it's great. It's the local connection that I think has everybody kind of rooting for Illinois at this point.
And to Dusty's point, literally anybody but UConn can win. I don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anybody but Dan Hurley.
Yep.
Because it's not UConn.
It ruined my life too many times in my sports fandom.
Should have been a T.
And that's not even that. It's just
him.
1999, 2004, 2026, too many to count.
Too many UConn versus Duke moments. But it's also hard to come back from a moment like that, too. I mean, that was their moment, right? That was their moment. how do you get back up after a game like that? And that's where coaching comes in. And that's why Dusty says they have Hurley. And that's why I'm like, yeah, I know it's hard to go against you.
Yeah, they're not going to lack intensity. Let's put it that way.
No, they're not.
For sure.
Last one for mascots. Does five guys give you five guys?
What, five guys?
Exactly. I mean, five against any one is an advantage.
True.
So, I mean, it doesn't matter. I can have five Bob Fescos. They're taking down the Hamburglar.
Yeah, but it's not. There's no mascot. I would say five guys is disqualified.
Okay.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, thanks for doing all
things.
What about
the Rax mascot?
Who's Rax?
I'll go look it up. The story about Mr.
This is With the First Pick, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where draft season never ends. Join former Titans GM Rand Carthon and me, Ryan Wilson, three times a week for an inside look at the college all-star games, the NFL Combine, and Pro Days. It's all building toward the big stage in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania this April for the 2026 NFL Draft. Follow and listen to With the First Pick on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're delicious.
Well, I'm not going to look up Rax on my computer.
There was a fast food Romeo chain Crail? Back in the day called Rax, R-A-X, okay. And they couldn't figure out what they wanted to do, one of those things that lost their identity, so they created this mascot called Mr. Delicious. And Mr. Delicious was this defeated divorce guy who walked around and with this woe is me attitude as the mascot for this place. Rax, it went out of business immediately. And they attribute it back to this guy, Mr. Delicious, who was there's a whole like backstory thing done on this. Like you're watching this and you're like, oh my God, somebody thought this was a good idea. Well, I'm getting divorced today, so I'm going to go to Rax.
Mr. Delicious sounds like Sexual Chocolate's cousin.
And on that note,
we'll be on a high note.
We'll be right back on the other side of 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Matt Quatrero, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. 96.5 The Fan.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.